We'd like to welcome everyone to the Nationwide Gospel Call. Welcome to April 14th, 2022. This is Brother Anthony Flunder with the Church of Christ in Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas, one of the co-hosts of this great gospel evangelistic effort hosted by the Highland Heights Church of Christ. Again, on behalf of Brother Tommy Brooks, who is the host minister, Brother Austin Wiggins, who is one of the co-hosts, and also Brother Horace Stroud, who is another co-host, we are glad and welcomed and privileged and honored that you have joined us on tonight. Tonight, we have a privileged gospel preacher who has been on this call before and has opened us up with prayer on many occasions, but this is his first opportunity as a preacher. Brother Delane Rapp has preached at many congregations and is a seasoned gospel preacher. He attends with me at the Church of Christ in Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas, and tonight, his subject is a new creature in Christ, taken from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. So it is my pleasure, it is my honor, it is my privilege to introduce to you Brother Delane Rapp. Brother Rapp, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. It's a wonderful opportunity, and I thank all of you so much for giving me this opportunity, Brother Brooks and the Highland Heights congregation there in Houston. We just appreciate everything that you're doing, and may God bless you and continue to see that the work is carried on there. And at this time, if you will, turn your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 14 through 17, and let us read God's Word together and begin our lesson. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 through 17. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and arose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I hope you really understood these words from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 14. Here we see very plainly where God has intended for all believers to live in harmony, and that in verse 17 in particular, brings forth the message concerning you and I, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So I want us to think about this evening, about this new creature in Christ. What does it entail, and what does it really mean? You know, a student of human nature only needs to look around about and see the very corruption and humanity and things that are going on today. And all it needs to do is survey all the evil and purposes of heart to cause him to say with Isaiah, all are like sheep and have gone astray. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. And with Paul as well, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. This we see that man must undergo some very radical change before he can properly be called a Christian. His relationship to God and Christ and the Holy Spirit is very important, and a change must take place. Must be a transition from Satan's kingdom into Christ's kingdom in order to wear the name Christian. In Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14, we read here the Apostle Paul speaking, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." God has liberated the believers from the dominion of darkness, the darkness of sin, into his kingdom of light. We are freed from bondage of sin by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 17. Jesus called this being converted in Matthew 18 and verse 3. What about the old man? The old man must put off. Ephesians 4:22-24. Let us read that together. Ephesians 4:22-24. "Put ye off concerning the former conversation or conduct the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So the individual must, in order to become a Christian, to become a new creature in Christ, must put off that old life that he once lived, the old man, that conduct of his old life, in order to become that new individual, that new man. It's a transition that takes place. He must put those things away and put them off. What about the old man who once lived in corrupt life and his deceitful lust and the pleasures of the world? The old man got to do something as well. He must be crucified in Galatians 2 and verse 20. Again, reading from God's Word, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but who?" What? "But Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So I believe that you must understand without a doubt that this old man must be crucified. He must put off that old man, that old way of life, the deceitful lust of the world and pleasures therein, and living that life of sin, and have that desire and want to become a new creature in Christ, a new individual, and putting on Christ and becoming a Christian, a child of God. The old man, we must find out as well, must be buried in Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 6, 3, and 4. Romans 6, 3, and 4. That old man must be buried. Let's find out what Paul has to say here. "Knowing this, that our old man must" what? The old man is crucified with him, "that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve him." We will not serve sin and live a life of sin any longer, but it must make that change in our lives. Must be buried once again. Do away with that old individual, that old life, and begin a new life in Christ once understanding what they must do to become a child of God. So we need to walk in newness of life and do away with that old person, that old individual, and then being crucified. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So we've got to do away with sin completely. Sin cannot exist in our life. We must strive to live a Christian life, a life that Christ would have us to live and want us to live as a new creature in Christ to live. How does a creature put on Christ anyway? That's a pretty good question. Here's how we put on Christ. Galatians 3:27 states, for as many of you have been what? Have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So once you are buried in the water graves of baptism, when you become that Christian, that new individual to be made whole, you put on Christ, that new life will begin. A new creature in Christ has a new life. A new life can be found in Romans, the 6th chapter and verse 4, where it states there, again, Paul speaking, therefore we are buried with him in baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we all should walk in newness of life. That's living a Christian life. Thereby we must be baptized into Christ's death, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so should we walk in newness of life once we become that new creature, that new child of God. Put away that old man. Become new to walk with our Lord and Savior. The old man must be done away. Serving God faithfully. The trials and tribulations that we will endure that will come upon us. But we know with God's help we can overcome those things. But we must continually strive to walk in newness of life and serve a risen Savior. A new creature of Christ has a new standard. 1 Peter 2:21. Christ also suffered for who? For us, that's you and me, leaving us an example that you should follow his strength. As a new creature in Christ, we must have a new standard once we put on Christ and become a child of God. We need to follow in his steps, continually striving to serve that risen Savior, serving our Lord and Savior, becoming that new creature. We must realize that a new creature also will have a new fellowship. But going along with that example of a new fellowship, in 1 John 1, verse 3, it states emphatically, that which we have seen and heard, declare unto you, that ye also may have, what? Fellowship with us and the Father, with the Son, Jesus Christ. So we have fellowship with the Father and with Christ together when we become that new creature, that new child of God. That is a wonderful experience that we go through. We have that fellowship now. We're to walk in newness of life, continue to strive, walking as a child of God, have that new standard, walk in newness of life, have that fellowship with him. 1 John 1:7 tells us, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So it's Christ's blood that cleanses you and I from our sin. Nothing else will do that but Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The one who died on that cruel cross of Calvary poured his blood out that you and I might be redeemed. Salvation comes only through Jesus Christ, our Lord. A new creature in Christ has a new name. What is that new name that a new creature, a new disciple in Christ is called? Acts 11:26 says that they were called Christians first at Antioch. Once obeying the gospel, the plan of salvation, as taught in the scriptures, we have that right to be called Christians and that designation as Christians and living with Christ. Now let us consider some who have obeyed the gospel and were baptized into Christ and became new creatures that we've been talking about. New creatures, new Christ, in Christ. Christians. When we think of those, we go back and we remember. You remember Saul, the one who hated so much and going about doing persecution. He's first mentioned with the connection with the stoning of Stephen in Acts the 7th chapter and verse 58 and 8th chapter and verse 1. Later he spoke to himself by saying, as teaching zeal, persecuting church, Philippians 3:6. He was exceedingly bitter in trying to stop the mouths of Christians in Acts 26:10-11. Even though he was an inspiring prosecutor, his conscience was clear. He could say, "Brethren, I have lived before God in all good conscience until this day." Acts 23:1. His conscience did not hurt because he thought he was doing what was right, but it was wrong. How many today feel like you're doing right? You're doing the right thing. That I'm doing the right thing. Turn to God's Word and find out if we're doing what's right. Don't believe what I say, but turn to the Scriptures to find out and see what they have to say. This certain proof of this man's conscience could be not be accepted as a guide. As long as man thinks he is right, his conscience is clear. You know, a conscience can be seared till you're really convinced that what you're doing, what you're saying, everything is right. And nothing is going to change. Saul had a good conscience, thinking he was right, but he was wrong. This is true with many of us today. And Saul journeyed on the road to Damascus to prosecute Christians. Suddenly there was a light shone around him and he heard the voice of Jesus. Jesus did not appear to Saul to pardon him, and some think that's not the truth, but to make him a minister and a witness. Acts 26:16. The miraculous event did not save him. After asking what to do, Jesus replied, "Rise and enter into the city, which shall be told thee what you must do." Acts 9:6. Obviously, there is something to do. Saul liked something. What did he lack? It wasn't faith because he had believed. Neither was it repentance. He was so persistent that he spent 3 days fasting and praying. Nor did he like a change of heart because he had changed from a desire to persecute the Christians to a desire to become a Christian. He liked something, yes, but he needed to do something else. Was he saved? No. His sins had not been washed away. Christ said that he would be told what he must do. What was it? Ananias came to him and said, "And now why tarriest? arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins and call on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and verse 16. And we know all from this that Saul's name was later changed to Paul, and he became a wonderful and great apostle and taught many, and his name is mentioned throughout the scriptures in many areas and different ways. As we continue our study together this evening, let us look at Galatians 3:27, where it says, "For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, again have put on Christ." That again is that new creature, that new child of God. That's what one must do. And then also, in Simon the Sorcerer, think about him as one of those that we read about in the Bible in Acts the 8th chapter, where Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ, verses 12 and 13, and they were baptized in Acts 8, 26 and 39. We have a special example there as well of the Ethiopian eunuch was in his chariot driving along, and the same scripture reading from but he needed to find out what he could do, what he must do. And so he was joined into the chariot by Philip. And in that joining together, the eunuch, as they studied together, what did he all suddenly say? The eunuch said to him, "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest, with all thine heart." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And Philip commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, and the eunuch baptized. Philip baptized the eunuch. What a wonderful thing. A great event. He needed to know what he must do to be saved. And he looked up and he said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He made that wonderful confession, "And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Then they went down into that water and he was baptized. Acts 16, 14 and 15, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, was baptized and her whole household. In Acts 2, 36 through 42, turn in your Bibles to Acts, the second chapter. And let's read those passages together and see what took place there. Acts, the second chapter, if you will, please. And let's begin there as we study God's Word together. We need to move on. Verse 36 begins, "Therefore let all the house assuredly know that God has made this Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, to all that are far off, even as the many of our Lord shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word, what happens? Were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. This is the first gospel sermon that was preached on the day of Pentecost by Peter, the beginning of the church. They answered that, and 3,000 souls were saved. In verse 42 it says, "And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers." But one big important thing when one obeys the gospel, like these 3,000 others that we've mentioned already that obeyed the gospel, they became a new creature in Christ, that new child of God, to walk in newness of life. Verse 47 tells us what takes place. Pleasing God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So it's the Lord that added them to the church, not somebody else, not me or anyone else, but only the Lord can add you to the church. And if we had time, we could go back and explain this further, where on the day of Pentecost, what actually took place when they were told to wait in Jerusalem until they received from on high the Holy Spirit to guide them. We can read and we can find where the people there understood what they were saying. They accused them of being drunk and all these things. But this was God's will. This is the way it was done. But as an end result, on the day of Pentecost, those 3,000 souls were added into the church. Brothers and sisters in Christ that are listening this evening, if you've been neglectful, if you've fallen away from the church, I pray that you will repent and turn back to the Lord before it's too late. For those who have not obeyed the gospel, it is my prayer that some of these that I have mentioned you from the scriptures that obeyed the gospel, that they were new creatures in Christ and obeyed the gospel and had that right then to be called Christians. Do you want to be called a Christian today? Hear the word preached. Hear, believe it. Repent of your sins. Realize that you're a sinner. Confess above all that Jesus Christ with the mouth, that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then be buried in a watery grave of baptism. Coming up out of that watery grave there, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Coming up out of that watery grave, that new creature having received forgiveness of sins, to walk in newness of life and to serve a risen Savior from that point on. May God bless each and every one of you as we continue in our walk with the Lord and serve Him. And above all, those who do not obey the gospel, don't wait too long. The time is now. Obey tonight. Get with someone who called you. Get a hold of your brother Tommy Brooks. Get a hold of your brother Flounder. Anyone. Member of the Church of Christ, closest to you, and let them know that you either want to study further or that you want to obey the gospel tonight before it's too late. God bless you, and thank you.